Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Here comes that pressure. Mayfield in the middle, it's intercepted! It's Derek Barnes! It's off to San Francisco for the Lions!
Blue Kool-Aid Drinkers! We are back, baby! We are back and we are better than ever! I've said that the last few episodes, but it's because it is true! We are literally better than ever right now. The Lions will be advancing. I am saying these words. These are real words. The Lions will be advancing to the NFC Championship next week on January 28th at 5:30 in San Francisco. And they're going to be one win away from the Super Bowl. That's right. The Lions are one win away from the Super Bowl. Unbelievable. Oh, yeah. We're going to get into all of it, but right now,
what a crazy turn of events.
We're going to get to all of it, but right now, before we get into all of it, I'm Big Z, and then let's get to the rest of the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. We got them all. Connor and Bob are driving, so if there's a little hum in the background, that's because they're driving back from, they attended the game tonight, but let's introduce the crew. So we got Connor.
Hello.
Bob. UJ.
Hello, Lions fans. Great day to be a Lions fan.
And Rud Dog.
Yo.
All right. So, as I mentioned, the Lions 31-23. A beautiful score. Beautiful score over the visiting Tampa Bay Buccaneers. The Buccaneers put up a great fight, but it just wasn't enough. Not enough for the Ford Field crowd and this Lions team that is destined for greatness. Two games away. Connor, Bob, I want to start with you guys since you were at the game. Just the atmosphere, how did it compare to the last game, and just the general feeling and vibes from the stadium?
Yeah, it was incredible. I mean, like, the last game, you guys were there, and it was so electric. And this one was electric, too. It wasn't quite as loud, I didn't think, at first. But as the game went on, and that fourth quarter is the loudest game I've ever heard. It was insane. And the Jared Goff chants were going again. And, you know, they brought Eminem. Yeah. They showed him on the scoreboard right when they needed the crowd to, like, pick up, and they did. And it was just electric. Amazing.
Yeah, I thought the crowd was a little restless at halftime. You know, they should have been up big, and then it was a tie game. But by the time the fourth quarter started, it was really loud. And that Derek Barnes pick was probably the loudest I've ever heard a football stadium in my life. I thought an eardrum was going to burst. So it was electric to be there for sure.
Awesome. I mean, great to hear it. I'm sure we'll hear more about it as we go throughout the episode. But UJ, how about it? Derek Barnes with an interception to clinch the divisional round to go to the NFC Championship. Unbelievable words coming out of my mouth right now.
I know, right? You know, it just shows you their faith for sticking with the guy. And actually, I thought he had a pretty good game today. He seemed to be all around the ball. But you know what makes a great team is when you get contributions everywhere, and this team is getting them from everywhere right now. And Derek Barnes, you know, he hasn't been a highlight reel guy necessarily or anything like that, but man, what a play he made there to seal that one. That was beautiful. It was absolutely beautiful. Contributions everywhere, man. It was just fun to watch.
Definitely. I mean, just insane. And I love the word that you used, patience. That is definitely a word that is permeated throughout this rebuild, if you will, when Brent Holmes and Dan Campbell came along. Patience with a lot of these players, belief in their system and the guys that they draft. And they stick with them as long as they can to develop these guys. It's really cool to see. I think it'll be, especially teams that need to rebuild, I think they're going to start emulating a lot what the Lions have done the past 3 years. But Rudd Dog, this is also not just a big Derek Barnes, you know, performance there at the end, but also Jahmyr Gibbs. I think he really showed out in this game.
Oh, yeah, man. He was electric. Nice long touchdown run. Oh, man. Like, that's just like, give me chills thinking about it. Like, I love a quick strike touchdown, especially when you can do it on the ground. So, love that. He's just coming into his own as one of the best runners in the league, period. And good timing.
And he actually, he looks great blocking, too, in the pass game. I think that's underrated. His development there has been astronomical this year.
Yeah, it's nice seeing all the guys do their blocks. Like, I feel like that wasn't the way the Lions ran for years, but everyone will throw down a block, and I think that's part of Dan Campbell's philosophy.
Yeah, and did you guys, one more thing on Derek Barnes. Did you guys see he got the game ball, and he said in his speech, like, took me 3 years to get an interception, but I finally got one. And it was awesome. Awesome.
Yeah, that locker room speech was awesome.
I haven't gotten a chance to see the stuff, unfortunately, yet, but that's awesome to hear. Yeah, how about it? Your first interception is to seal it for an NFC championship. The first one in 30-plus years for the Lions. That's insane. man, you know, this is just this is incredible. I don't want to jump too far ahead, but like the Lions are 6.5-point underdogs going into San Francisco next week. They're going to have a hell of a week ahead of them here. But, I mean, just going back to this game, I want to start with the defensive side of the ball first, because they kept the Lions in, especially in the first half. And Aaron Glenn really dialed up a lot of blitzes, especially off the edge. Connor, he was your roar of the week. Aaron Glenn, your guy.
I think he earned it. And, you know, Goff in his press conference was like, hey, no one asked me, but Aaron Glenn called a hell of a game. And I think he's right. I mean, the defense came up with all the critical stops. And when the Bucs had a chance to come back and tie it, I know they were down 8, but, you know, they had their opportunity. I still felt really good. I'm like, you know what? I actually think this defense can make a stop. And make a stop they did. And I think they're turning the corner at the perfect time to continue this magical run we've been seeing.
Yeah, definitely. UJ, I mean, those sacks were a big they seem to just come at key moments throughout this game, especially, and I just couldn't believe how the Bucs just consistently were not picking him up off the edge. The Lions.
Yeah, it was remarkable. I mean, one time Hutch got in there completely untouched. I mean, he didn't get the sack, but
twice.
Yeah, he was not reading those corner blitzes either, or safety blitzes. They were disguising it a little bit. I mean, not that much though. I mean, looks like they're out there in coverage, and all of a sudden they just turn in and run. I don't know, but they kept Baker Mayfield off balance, and that was enough. I mean, Mayfield did some good things in that game, and he didn't really have a bad game. But he was under a lot of duress, and thanks to the Lions defense, who just kept the pressure coming, man. They just kept the pressure. And, you know, eventually good things are going to happen. And, credit to Glenn with the game plan and just the gritty defense that we have. I mean, these guys, they're not perfect. They're not shut down, but man, they make the big plays and they need them. And again, like Rudd Dog, you said a million times, how many points did they score? 23. That seems to be like a magic range of where these teams scored like 20, 22, 20. It's unbelievable. Like, and we can score more than that, so we're fine. So it's great. Yeah, defense, kudos to them, man. What a game.
And Rudd Dog, you had did you have Iffy as your roar of the week? Was he your roar of the week?
It was Hutch, I believe.
Okay. Well, he had a sack, but who had Iffy as the roar of the week? Was it you, UJ?
It might have been me.
Either way, I mean, his instincts blitzing are phenomenal.
Yeah.
1.5 sacks credited with today. Branch also a really good blitzer. The thing about the DBs that blitz too, like we saw with Barnes, for instance, and Dallas. And actually at the end of the first half, the Lions are guilty of this too. Like they get like the shot on the quarterback, but you can't run by the quarterback. You can't just like you gotta control yourself once you get the opportunity. And Rudd Dog, Brian Branch, I think, really shows, and Iffy, when they get back there, they could, like, settle down just enough to, like, corral the quarterback and get him down to the ground. I think it's a hard skill.
Well, yeah, settle down and not overrun him, but also, you know, to actually bring him down, actually blitz, like, because Benito Jones did that, too, where he gets in there clean and then just whips.
That's what I was,
But no, that was the other Branch and Iffy. They actually beat blitz blocks pretty well too. Like if there's a running back actually assigned to beat them, like that's not just like guaranteed win. Like
right.
I feel like we had a lot of the season where like our blitzes were just picked up early on this year.
Definitely,
those guys are very good at beating.
And Bob. CJ Gardner Johnson, he comes out and talks trash about Baker Mayfield this week. and Baker responded actually kind of like you know, pretty good response. But either way, comes out and gets the early pick. The crowd had to be roaring right there.
Yeah. That was my roar of the week. So he contributed right away. And I just love his energy out there too. He just I hope he comes back next year. I don't know what he's gonna do, but I'm just glad we have him on this playoff run because he's been fun to have. And he's chirping out there and he's bringing the energy and he's a great guy to have on our
team. Yeah,
he tossed the ball to Baker too after the pick. Did you guys? That was awesome.
Oh man, he's a character for sure. He's a lot of fun to have. He's like he's one of those guys you love when he's on your team and hate when he's not on your team.
Look at Przinski.
AJ Przinski. Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
I also feel like having him back is just – it's part of why we're blitzing so effectively. Like, right now, we're really finally seeing, like, the effect of having all these extra really good secondary players. You know, maybe they're not our cornerbacks, but, like, with all the safeties we have with Kirby and Iffy and Seedy and now – and, you know, Branch. Like, those dudes, there's too many playmakers right there. It just allows you to do all kinds of different things that – and leave effective coverage and stuff back because you got that much talent.
No, that's a great point. That's a great point. And, you know, in this game, the Lions' run defense wasn't, I wouldn't say quite as effective as it's been. Rashard White averaged 6 yards a carry. But, I mean, they only ran it 15 times. They respected it in terms of just, like, not going to it too often. so we continuously see teams just completely abandon the run game and just try to throw against us no matter what, which is interesting because San Francisco doesn't really operate like that. They run their system. They run it 30-plus times a game, especially with Christian McCaffrey. And then they looked a little shaky. I mean, I don't want to jump too far ahead. I still want to talk about this game, but just interesting how teams have been playing us lately, kind of just like throwing out the run every once in a while, but really just trying to throw the ball over the yard.
Well, I think that's like probably part of the genius of Glenn. He probably baits you with that, like seemingly, you know, ooh, come throw into our soft secondary, but we're not soft. Just because we give up yards, we still have, you know, guys who hit like a buzzsaw. And actually, like, I think part of why we're so good as the field contracts is because I think Cam Sutton on a shorter field is actually a really good cornerback. I think his problems largely lie in when he gets beat, you know, early or something deep. But, like, that one to Mike Evans down the sideline was ridiculous. Like, it was good coverage, but that was just a ridiculous throw and catch between him and Baker where he dove for it. But I think Cam's really good on a short field, and that's part a big reason why we get so much better as the field shortens down.
Yeah. Yeah. Just try to, you know, have anybody stuck. Campbell in only 3 tackles today. Barnes 4. Reese Maven just continues to find himself around the ball in these games. He always comes up with one or two big plays every game, yeah. Special teams or otherwise. What a guy to have on the team. Really just, I'm glad he's a pro bowler, a guy who's an all-pro. Just a well-deserved year from all around. But, yeah, it's just really fun. I don't have the pressures, unfortunately, from Hutch. But Hutch had at least probably 8 pressures in this game, if not more. He's just all over. I love what, even today, like he had the one spin move, it didn't work, and then he spun right back around the other way and got a hit on Baker. Yeah. The guy has an unbelievable motor.
Yeah, he was full tilt in that game, and he was effective too. I mean, the stats weren't there, but man, oh man. That guy, it was a great moment at the end of the game when Hutch was standing there. That the camera that we were watching on TV was focused on Hutch, and he was all by himself, and so just looking up in the crowd, just gazing like he can't believe what's just happening. He's soaking it all in, just and the camera just focused on him, you know, just standing there. It was really a nice scene, and how much it means to the city, you know, hometown boy coming doing this for his hometown team, and it's got to mean a lot. So there's so many good feels in this one, man. So
it's, I mean, it just keeps getting better and better and better, and it's going to be even better when we win and go to the Super Bowl.
We're going
in a week
to the NFC Championship next week.
It doesn't seem like I'm. It seems like we're doing like a fake episode right now. It's not real, but it's real. Right. It's real. Don't worry.
It is a wonderful feeling.
Oh man!
Like, just it's amazing to see the Lions just be so good and watch such fun, competitive football from this team. It's just pure joy.
Yes, and the defense has been feeding off it for sure, especially at home. It will be an interesting challenge going on the road. I do not think San Francisco has a great home crowd. It's not like Ford Field. I can guarantee you that.
Yeah,
let's flip it to the other side here with the offense. Yeah. Goff again, no turnovers, 2 touchdowns, 30 for 43, 287. Really turned it on in the second half when he needed to. Took a couple sacks, but he also had a couple. He had 3 of those carries are kneel down, so six carries for 6 yards. But he had a 7-yard run and a nice quarterback sneak early on. I love when Goff runs because the teams never expect it.
He's got sneaky speed, I think, too. Like,
it's sneaky.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if it's speed, but it's sneaky.
Yeah.
It's like when a Tom Brady would do it every once in a blue moon. He was really good at quarterback sneaks, Tom Brady. But as far as like the 7-yard run, that was truly a rarity.
But Goff was under control this whole game. He really played a nice game. You know, and a lot of those throws were pretty well defended, too. I mean, he was hitting guys with the minimum of room. I mean, margin for error there. Just leading them perfectly. Laporta really balled out today.
9 catches for 65 yards. Just efficient. He looked great out there in the need. Not looked
great
to be bothering him too much. He looked a lot better this week than he did last week. He's a blitz killer, a zone killer too. He's just a killer in general, but, and then Mon-Ra, 8 catches for 77 yards, a huge one on that 3rd and long, catches it just a little short, battles 3 guys, just strong enough to get the first down. That little man with a powerful lower body, just to get it across. Love it. He had 1 drop in this game, but, I mean, we're not going to dog him too much for that. It's just,
He would have been murdered.
He continues to step up in a big moment. What's that, Connor?
Oh, he would have been trucked, absolutely trucked, if he caught that ball. So,
yes,
maybe dodge the bullet there.
Yeah, you're probably right.
I just want to say about Goff. Like, Goff played so good in this game. This was a game. This is a team that I think they have a good defense, and there was a lot of opportunities. Granted, one time we did get a little lucky. He threw 1 bad throw that really.
Oh yeah, been a they dropped that big
in the end zone. But besides that play, like, he was just so good. Like, that's a tough defense, and that's the kind of defense that usually generates more turnovers because they get after you and with the blitz, and you know they just have really fast, tight linebackers that. Or make it really tough around the middle of the field. And Jared Goff generally just, you know, didn't flinch, man. Just was so damn composed back there. And it, like, so many times he was getting these balls off that looked like they were should have been swatted out of his hand.
Yeah.
Or he's just got that quick release and was just delivering daggers.
Dagger time. Dagger time, baby. Hey, I have one thing about that offense that bothered me. I thought the reps were decent today, but there was two consecutive plays where Jameson Williams got interfered with and they didn't call him. And then on the next series, they called the same thing on the other team. They called it on interference on us. So that was kind of bullshit because I think Jamo's ready to pop. He's getting close, man. He's
He is.
I think you're right, and San Francisco has some pretty weak corners on the outside that he can definitely expose down the sideline, at least I think. And yeah, I mean, you're right. It doesn't usually go our way in these games, as you know, as we all know, as all our listeners know.
Well, Campbell won't let that happen. Mattering. That's right. It doesn't matter.
It would have always mattered in the past.
I'm always a little more lenient with the subjective calls. It's like the ones like eligible and the batting out of bounds and the Kelvin process rule where it's just like, that's what makes you livid. Or like in the Pettigrew game where they call it, move the ball, and take it all back. They just press the rewind button. But overall, I thought it was actually pretty well appreciated game, especially for how the refs are these days.
Yeah. I was kind of bummed we didn't get a false start. Not that the refs miscalled anything, but I was hoping the crowd would get a couple. It didn't really happen. But still.
The crowd's tired from last week. They're not in playoff shape.
I'm
this
exhausted.
Is a new thing for them, you know?
Yeah.
It's exhausting doing all that yelling.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, I had to tap out even more this week.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, I'm sorry, but you know, this is such a team game, and Campbell talks about complimentary football. They all talk about it, you know, but that goddamn offensive line was so good,
yes,
man.
Thank you.
I mean, they kept the rush off of Goff all day. Goff had time to sit back and process, and yeah, they got close to him a few times where it seemed like he wasn't going to get the ball off, and he did. I mean, what a game by that group, man. You know, Jonah Jackson goes out. Awosika comes in and fills in fine. Ragnow looks like, oh, my God, he's
what a
be
warrior,
out.
MVP.
That guy's a stud and a half. He is amazing.
He looked like he was playing on one foot, and he still was really good. He took on Vitavia with essentially like one and a half legs. So on that Craig Reynolds touchdown run. By the way, you shout out to Craig Reynolds. First carry of the playoffs. What a time to have it.
That's awesome.
Me and EJ are briefly discussing before we hop on here, like about why is Craig Reynolds in that situation? Do you think they're like trying to distract the defense? Like, no, they're not going to hand it off to Craig Reynolds here. One of the most
I think
important.
That's exactly why they did it.
And then goes right through the middle of the defense.
Dan said it's because that's just the package for him, you know? That's just playing coy, if you ask me. I think there was an obvious psychological edge there to put Craig back there, knowing that you can trust him, but making them think that you probably won't be running to him at that time.
Well, right before that was some questionable goal line play calling with spread and then throwing a slant to Reynolds and then the play action will pour a little more sense. Not a good throw. Didn't give him a chance to catch it.
Was that the drive of the near pick?
That was early in the game. This is the Craig Reynolds touchdown drive because caused it to be fourth down because of the bad play calls before.
You got first down on the two, and you throw two questionable passes.
Yeah,
and then he goes for it. Of course, as Campbell always does,
as he always does. That's two playoff games in a row with a big touchdown on fourth and short from the goal line. Same end
what
zone.
A call.
Too.
What a call!
Yes. Big nuts, Campbell. I love those memes and the graphics with it, like his nuts in a wheelbarrow.
The South Park one?
Yeah. They're too hilarious. Funny.
Those are great.
But yeah, I mean, as Road Dog has mentioned, Goff is great, but Goff is only great if the offensive line is protecting him, and they did a phenomenal job. And I would say Monty in his pass protection is a little more questionable these days. That's why I was praising Gibbs in his past. Arguably, he looks like almost the better pass protector, which is kind of wild.
He's so strong, too, Gibbs. Like, you see it and all his plays. Like, whenever he's, like, we've talked about this before, but when he finishes runs, it's so rarely on the ground. Like, he's, like, he doesn't just get tackled easy. That dude is, he's just seems to be more and more impressive every week.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I guess, Connor and Bob, I don't think you guys caught this because you're at the game, but the announcer, or Tirico, was mentioning that that Jameson Williams had, they had that 24-yard catch. I forget. Was it on third down? I don't remember which down it was on, unfortunately. But either way, they said Goff, like the last practice of the week, was out there throwing that route like pretty much blindly to Jameson Williams. Like, they were just repeating it over and over at the end of practice for like 30 minutes to an hour, just the same route over and over.
No, that's awesome.
And then it came, and then they used it in the game to perfection. They ran on the left side and the right side because they didn't know what hash they'd be on, I guess. But I thought that was a cool little tidbit and just shows how much they want to get the ball to J-Mo. I mean, I was glad to see him throw it deep on the one. Even, like, I think Red Dog especially said this before. Even if you're, if he's not catching it, you got to at least throw one. You got to, like, at least let him respect the ability to do it downfield. They did it once in this game. Mm-hmm. I'm glad to see it. I want to see him, like, at 8 targets, but it's so hard because you got Amon-Ra, you got Sam Laporta, you got Josh Reynolds. Also,
yep, you don't need him yet.
Big shout out to Brock Wright. He came up at a huge time in the game. The Lions need him, like, desperately. Right. And he comes up with one catch, 21 yards. It doesn't look like he's going to be playing next week, unfortunately. He's hurt. And then Jonah Jackson's there. But, I mean, the shout out to Brock Wright. Huge moment for him.
Yep.
He catches the avenue like 4. I'm checking
right
now. Not
that Brock Wright play was big.
But that juke to extend that play.
13 catches, sorry. Say that again, Bob.
No, I just said that Brock Wright play was big. It came at a good time. It really charged up the team.
It was definitely the right call.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. yeah, so shout out to Brock Wright. Shout out to just our tight ends and how they've been performing this year. It's pretty cool to see.
Then maybe we'll get Mitchell back now next game.
I don't know if he's coming back. Isn't he on IR, Mitchell?
Is he? I don't know.
His hand. Hurt his hand. But, yeah. The tight ends have been fantastic, especially Mr. Laporta, who my wife thinks is the cutest guy in the NFL. But, you know, whatever. So, Road Dog, what else do you think about this game? What was your, like, come on, your favorite highlight of this game? Tell me.
Favorite highlight? Oh, probably was the Gibbs touchdown run, honestly. That was just so.
That was superb.
That speed, that was superb. Man, to beat that safety. Just ridiculous.
Yeah. How about you, Connor? What was your, do you have a favorite play in this game at all?
That touchdown to Amon-Ra, that kind of like fade type route. I was perfectly placed ball. I thought that's the kind of play that you show on Goff's highlight reel, I think, after the season. I thought that was
100% agree with you. That was an unbelievably great throw.
Yeah. I don't know. Yeah. How about you, Bob?
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, it's hard to pick one play like that. That the Brock Wright thing is pretty awesome, and Flavor Flav bringing out the ball before the game, that was amazing. And
it was amazing.
I don't know if they showed it on TV, but they did the ball toss, you know, where they tried to hit the targets with Rory the Lion, and Eric Kramer came out. He was the guy who won our last divisional round game to bring him to the NFC Championship. So. That was kind of neat to see him.
How's his arm? Can he still get out there, you think, and do it? I don't know.
He missed the final target, so. But he hit the rim. Oh,
that's good. That's good.
It's a tough throw.
Well, you know, he's getting up there a little bit now.
He outthrew Rory.
So, I don't know. Oh, man, I don't know. There are so many good plays. I think I'm with you, Connor, on that one. That was the most sublime throw by Goff. You know, he hasn't thrown a lot of those this year. Those type of throws to the corner of the end zone. And that was just beautiful. It was a thing of beauty.
Oh, yeah. That just perfectly placed ball. Yeah. Like, oh, man.
Yeah.
Love those.
I'm telling you, this team is something else. I'll tell you what I think about this team. we can go around, we can rave about everybody on this team because it's hard not to. There's so many contributors, but man, I'll tell you what, this team does not, their personality, they never get shook on anything. You know, like Tampa comes and scores, they answer us right away. And, you know, we're getting all excited and they just go back to business, go down and score again. Like, is they're just like, those assassins, you know, hey, I'm a professional, you know, and you don't let the emotions get to you. And these guys don't.
Exactly.
They just play, man. It's
they're just like Jean Renault.
Yeah, exactly.
So I do want to get, I mean, Mike Evans did play a great game. I will give a shout out to him. I thought he played very well. Kadon, the tight end, I thought played pretty well against us, too. This is a nasty defense that the Lions played, and it's gonna get tougher next week. But man, Jamel Dean for Tampa Bay really impressed me. I just want to say he was really good. And then what do you think of Kancey, Rudd Dog? You're big on him. Did the Lions miss the boat on him?
He toasted Glasgow on that one play. I mean, I wouldn't say that we should have picked him or anything, but I would say I feel pretty vindicated on the quality of player he is. He looked really good. But I'm glad to have Gibbs
get too petty about
have
that,
Dave but... Campbell.
What was that, bud?
I just said I wouldn't get too heady about his Kalijah Kancey pick. You know, he's okay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
You said he was Aaron Donald 2.0 in the draft preparation, so I haven't seen that yet.
I don't know what he said.
Yeah, I think we lost you for a second there, Bob. Try it again.
It must be driving through a tunnel.
No. I just said
robot.
He was hyping up as Aaron Donald before. Oh, we lost. Now we lost.
Well, we're losing him a little bit, but I think what he's trying to say is that you, Rudd Dog, were comparing Kalijah Kancey to Aaron Donald 2.0.
I don't think I sort of said 2.0, but I definitely compared him to Aaron Donald.
he has as good a game against us as Aaron Donald did, maybe better.
He had a better game.
Yeah, he had a better game than Aaron Donald against us.
So, I mean, I don't know. I think the kid looks good. He looked good in the week before he played us. He looks like a solid, exactly what I thought he'd be, an explosive interior pass rusher.
Yeah.
I regret nothing about this draft, though. I love what Brad did.
Yeah, it's amazing just how much these rookies are constantly stepping up for us every week. It's remarkable. And people were mixed on the drafts. It depends on the pundit that you read whether they liked it or not. I mean, this is why you go out and if you get a guy that is graded highly on your board, you just go get him regardless of the position. But I do think the Lions were looking for a tight end after the Hawk trade, and it has obviously worked out phenomenally well. Phenomenally.
Yeah, I think Holmes and Campbell are changing the way the NFL thinks right now. I mean, even with this new coaching hires out there, I think there's going to be more people looking for player-type coaches like a Campbell, you know, guys like that, guys who can communicate with the men better, you know, or...
Yeah, unless you're hiring Bill Belichick, so...
Yeah, right.
But it's mostly...
You know,
I do think you're right.
You guys...
Yeah, and in regard to the draft, too, I mean... When they see the success we've had, you don't think other people are going to be thinking differently now instead of following all those damn prognosticators and their freaking formulas and all that bullshit? I mean, they're just going to, it's going to start changing the way they think, you know? And this is our guys changing things. It's our guys. Think about it. It's awesome.
Hey, the Lions are the toast of the NFL right now. We're setting the new pace. Like I feel like we skipped ahead of the Eagles and took up their kind of spot in like one of the mega teams in the league right now. Like the 49ers, the Ravens, the Bills, the Chiefs. Like, and then there's us. Like, we're in that same group. We're in the final four, baby. Like, we look like we belong there.
Definitely. This is it's really cool. Like we said, I mean, we've preached it a million times, just the culture that they built, the patience that they've had, how they built this thing from the top down. I didn't realize that Mike Disner was a big factor in Brad Holmes being hired to the Lions. I thought that was an interesting tidbit I found out this weekend. And he's staying in Detroit. At least another year. He pulled his hat out of the ring for the GM of the Panthers. So that's pretty cool. He's from Michigan, so I bet it's really someone probably going to have to blow him away with an offer or something like that to get him out of Detroit at this point. But Mike Disner, big shout out to him too for finding Brad Holmes, because I guess Brad Holmes wasn't even on the radar of the Lions initially in their search, and then he saw some sort of interview or video of him and showed it to Rod Wood and Sheila Ford Hamp and said we got. Then they said we got to interview this guy, and then obviously the rest is history from there. Cool tidbit. I think you guys were talking about this highlights. I just love Gibbs going against Winfield one-on-one in the open field and just torching him. That's an all-pro safety against a rookie running back and making him look like a fool. So I thought that was pretty sweet.
Pretty sweet, man. Pretty freaking sweet.
So was there any – or Connor and Bob, were there any other celebrity things? Did we miss any other celebrities at the game today?
I don't know. Big Gretch was at the game. Eminem and Flava Flav. Do you remember anyone else being there?
Peyton Manning was there. Calvin Johnson.
Were Stephen Tulloch and Golden Tate there again?
I don't know.
I didn't see them if they were.
I'm not sure.
Yeah, maybe Kerryon Johnson was in the stadium.
Wait, he was or you don't? Or are you just saying he might have been?
No, I'm not speculating. I have no idea.
Hey, the national anthem was the saxophone player, and that guy was amazing.
Interesting.
He was really good. And
yeah, he held that note for like 40 minutes.
And the crowd just sang.
Oh, that's cool.
I like that. Cool. Awesome. I like that.
I see they did the light show thing too again, right? With the wristbands.
They did with the wristbands awesome. And stuff. Yeah,
my wristband's still flashing on my wristband.
I love how they do that. That's really cool. I haven't seen any other stadium incorporate that. At least. That's my knowledge on TV.
They handed out the towels this week, which were better than the pom-poms last week.
I saw a lot more of that in the stadium this time around. I didn't really see a ton of pom-poms going last week at the game. The towels are easier, you know. So. What's up, brother?
Was it as obviously stacked as it looked on TV? Like, I didn't see a single fan for the other team. For Tampa out there. It looked like it was just all Lions fans.
I think I could count like five Bucks Man. Fans total.
That's
I
awesome.
Saw.
Yeah, and the Rams too, last week. I wouldn't say there was too many.
We ran into a few on the street that
day.
Yeah,
like five or something like that. It was really a small amount. Either way, if there was any there, we could not see them on TV. And Connor and Bob saw less than five.
You guys, I have to tell you something. The Detroit Lions are going to the NFC Championship. Think about it.
I know.
That's wild. One win away from a Super
so
Bowl.
So wild.
Take it to the Super Bowl. It's crazy.
Two more
That's
games.
That's right. Two more banners.
So it's Chiefs and Ravens on the AFC side early Sunday, and then Lions will be traveling to San Francisco. That Chiefs-Bills game was a lot of fun to watch, too, actually. I'm not sure how much you guys caught it, but Connor and Bob. But
it was interesting.
I missed the end. What was the final?
I watched the fourth quarter and described it to Bob, but it was...
To me, the most interesting...
Fan base, there was a lot of heartbreak. The Browns and the Bills final? Come to mind, so... The Bills cannot beat the Chiefs
lost.
For the life of them.
Oh, see, man, I had a weird feeling. I think it's gonna be the Lions and the Chiefs in the Super Bowl.
That would be a perfect symmetry to the season, wouldn't it?
I hope so. That's better than Lions.
Yeah, the Ravens look stacked. They look beasts.
They do.
And they smoked us in Baltimore.
And that,
that was Campbell's plan.
Alive with,
it was he was sandbagging.
Logo or whatever.
So we can preview just for like five. Or so minutes, just previewing next week. So the Lions are going to be traveling to San Francisco. Right now it's 68 and sunny is the projected weather, which is great, especially for – I'm not sure the wind. But we all know Goff is definitely better on turf and in a dome. That's where he's thrived in his career. It will be interesting to see him go on the grass and this offense playing the grass. I haven't played on grass in a little while. I'm trying to look at the last one besides the Bears.
Lambo.
Kid, love it out there. That's
right.
That's his home turf, man.
His hometown.
It is Cali. Yeah, that's very true. Very true. Although not Northern Cali. He's a Southern Cali guy. But
he's going to have all his bros out
there,
man.
Let's see.
Denver, surfing
no,
buddies.
It was Chicago. That was the last time we were outdoors for a game this year. We've only played two outdoor games this year. It was Ravens and Bears. It did not go well. but, you know, this is a new Lions team, even since that Bears game, honestly. So
I don't know if you can draw too much causation from that correlation. Like,
well, we played in Lambeau and won.
Exactly the factor.
Was that, Connor?
Yeah,
we crushed it in Lambeau. We crushed it in Lambeau. That was an outdoor game.
We did.
Lambeau Field.
Sorry, three outdoor games. Yeah. Sorry. Apologies.
Yeah, we beat them the first game at Lambeau.
Oh, no, four, because Chiefs was the first game of the season. Sorry, I was looking.
Yeah, there you go. 2-2.
Hey, one last note on the before we close the book on Tampa Bay. I just want to give props to Baker Mayfield. I thought he did a hell of a job this year, like coming back and
definitely
being a good quarterback again, and he advanced further than the Browns did. I just thought that was sweet justice. I don't know.
Bob, that felt like the you can't win them all kids speech, and you just put like the hat on their head, and you know.
He impressed me today.
Today's not your day.
He impressed me today too. The Lions were trying to get in his passing lane. He was throwing around it a lot too. Because the last time the Lions played him, I mean, he's shorter. He gets a lot of balls tipped historically. But this season, he's gotten a little better, kind of throwing around the arms in front of him, if you will. I'm a big Baker guy. I've always believed in him. I thought the Browns shouldn't have got rid of him. It sounds like you agree with that, Bob. But I was glad to see him play. It sounds like he's getting a contract extension too with the Bucks, which is pretty cool. Yeah, but you know, I didn't like him today, so just kind of like Stafford. That's two quarterbacks in a row. Good thing I don't really care about Brock Purdy and the 49ers too much, like I have Stafford and Baker. But but this is a 49ers team. Obviously that. If you're a big DVOA person, the 49ers are like first by a mile in every in almost every category. I guess Baltimore is the second closest. But this San Francisco team is extremely efficient. They won their first game being down 7 points in the fourth quarter in the Shanahan era last week against the Packers. And that was mainly because the Packers missed a field goal. But this is a loaded 49ers team. It will be interesting to monitor the injury report. I forgot to mention, we lost Jonah Jackson in this game. Big shout out to Coyote Awasaka. He stepped up. I would say relatively seamlessly. The only other pressure that came after he entered the game was actually in Glasgow side of the line. So a big shout out to Awasaka. I mean, he's got a lot of reps this year because Jonah Jackson's been in, on and off the injury report. But big shout out to him, because it looks like he will be starting next week because Jonah Jackson will not be.
He'll be back.
What's that?
Jonah Jackson will be back.
Well, I hope so. I'm not sure the extent of his injury yet. But him and Brock Wright look like our two casualties from this past game.
Yeah, but the injuries might make him easier to sign. On that note.
Horrible, you know, all our key guys are still there, and Jackson being out throughout the season has given a lot of experience to the backup too. And I heard Bob, the big cheer for Skipper reporting eligible in this game near the goal line. It's so funny.
God, I love the skip.
So going back to now the upcoming game this week, just for a couple minutes, you got Ayuk. You have Trenton Williams in this offensive line. That's pretty beastly. Brock Purdy. How much of the Green Bay 49ers game did you guys watch?
I watched, most of it.
Purdy did not look good.
No.
He did not look good. Maybe it was the weather. I don't know. I was getting in a lot of arguments with people. But like, they're like, Brock Purdy's top 10 quarterback. I was saying, well, I think Jared Goff is. And they're like, no, he's not. Purdy is. These people, I felt a little validated last week watching the Purdy experience against Green Bay. I thought it was not very good. So that's promising, especially if the Lions can disrupt him. He's a mobile quarterback, too. He can get out of the pocket. Every quarterback's mobile except for ours in this league nowadays. But UJ, just really quick, I see we got you back full here now. Just really quick, how worried are you about this 49ers team against the Lions? Lions 6.5-point underdogs.
Well, first of all, that 6.5 point spread is going to fuel this team. Second of all, Campbell is just going to have these guys. I think the secret of that game is going to be getting to Brock Purdy. If we can pressure him, we got a great chance in this game. So I like our offense against anybody's defense, including Frisco's. So I think we got as good a chance as anybody against this team.
Yeah, and they've
really do.
They proved to be extremely, extremely vulnerable lately too, which is good to see. But really quick, I guess Bob and Connor, just really quick, your initial thoughts on the game in about 30 seconds or less.
Yeah, I guess kind of what you just said. I think, especially if we get some pressure on Purdy, I think that throws him off his game, and he's not this efficient machine he was. I think he's overrated myself. I know he's having a great year, but I think it's a system. He's a system guy more, and I think if we get to him, we have a good chance at winning this game.
Yeah, I mean, on paper, the Niners are one of the best teams in football, and they should probably be favored in this game, but I think this is a really good matchup for the Lions. And since the Packers almost beat them, I think we're a better matchup for them than the Packers. So I think we got a real shot. But everyone's got to be on their game, and all our top guys got to be performing. And I think we can pull something out here.
Definitely. Red Dog.
Yeah, you guys all said it. There's no reason the Lions can't win this game. I don't think that maybe on paper – 49ers have us beat in some ways, roster depth wise, probably mostly on defense, honestly. But I don't see any reason we can't go in and win this game. I think we are good enough to beat anybody, and that includes this team.
Yeah, I'm really fascinated by this Lions offense going against the San Francisco defense. It's a loaded defense. They went out and got Chase Young, a guy that maybe some people thought the Lions should go grab. At the trade deadline, you got Bosa against Hutch. I love that kind of, you know, the two great white DNs of the NFL going at it on opposite ends. this is just a loaded San Francisco D-line. I love to see our offensive line go against them. It does suck that Jonah Jackson will be out, but I can't wait to see what Sewell does against Bosa, Decker against Greenlaw, et cetera. It's just a really fun matchup. I can't wait to see it because it's going to be a challenge thrown over the middle against San Francisco. It's the outside where they're vulnerable mostly. But Lions can maybe disprove that this week. But it's going to be a lot of fun. Oh, man, it's going to be so much fun.
It already is a lot of fun.
We're going to wrap it up here soon, but I just want to reiterate something that we've said throughout the episode. The Lions are going to the NFC Championship. It's real.
Hey, Big Z. Big Z. I think I called the exact score, if I'm not mistaken. Do you remember, remember the scores we called last
week? You got our score.
I had 31-13.
No,
you guys had.
I don't have them written down right now. I'd have to go back and look.
UJ, yours is
your
like,
prediction. So you told me 31.
Yours was like 31-17.
You think I remember that stuff?
You had the Lions score right. You didn't have the.
Okay.
Red Dog had like 6 touchdowns. I remember or something like that.
I was the closest to accurate. So
what was yours? Yeah. 70-3. What was it?
It was 40-6. But
yeah, producer KJ had 31-13 for UJ. I'm trying to remember mine. I thought mine was somewhere in the range.
Yours actually might be the...
I thought it was like 31-20, I think I had, yeah. Oh, okay. Just off.
Oh, well. Anyway.
I thought I was...
But we were
either way, they say the good Lions teams won. Win, great teams cover. Well, the Lions are a good and a great team in that scenario, because Lions covered the 6.5 points spread. I'm closing at 6.5. And that's thanks to the that was the other thing I want to mention. Really quick. Are you guys fans of Tampa Bay? In general, like, if it was the Lions, even, like, just going for two down eight? Or do you just kick the field goal and then maybe go for two later to win the game?
They were down 14. They were down
14, scored the touchdown, down eight. Then they decided to go for two.
I would have taken the extra point.
Yeah, I would have kicked the extra point.
Same here. Yeah. Same
I mean, here. Collinsworth said why it's technically... Like,
analytics say go for it. Go for two.
Yeah, analytics say go for it. So, I mean, I have no problem with it. You needed two touchdowns regardless. So, you know, it's... You just have to go for two twice.
Yeah, the Packers did it successfully earlier this year. They came back against the Saints in a similar fashion where there was that debate to go for two or not. They went for two, got it, scored the game-tying touchdown later, and then just were able to kick an extra point to win it. So it's interesting. It's an interesting thought. If it comes for Lions, I think the Lions would also do the same. I think they would go for two as well, especially knowing Campbell.
Yeah. Fun thing is, it didn't matter because they never scored another touchdown.
Correct. Correct. All right. So I think that's going to wrap it up for us here. This is our instant reactions to the Lions win in the divisional round over the Tampa Bay Buccaneers to go to the NFC Championship next Sunday against the San Francisco 49ers. The powerhouse, Kyle Shanahan. I'm not a fan of his. I'm a fan of his. You know, his success, but not a fan of his, like, kind of personality. Kind of whiny. Anyways, we'll get into that later this week. That's a preview for the, if you will. So we'll be back later this week previewing that game. It's going to be a lot of fun. I mean, it's hard to believe we're still doing this this late in the season. I mean, it's the fourth year of the pod, and yeah, it's just, this is insane. So. I know you all feel the same way as well, and I know every Lions fan that's listening is realizing how historic this is, and you can't wipe the smile off our face, not for another week at least, so this is really cool. Thank you, everybody, for listening. So thank you to SidelineReport.com for supporting the podcast. Really appreciate that. Thank you to our producer, KJ.
KJ.
KJ, crushing it on the pod every week for us. Instagram at Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter /X at Drinking Lions, Gmail if you're interested in send us a message or something along those lines. That's Drinking the Blue Kool-Aid at gmail.com. Spotify, Apple, wherever you get your podcast, please download, please subscribe, and please leave a review. Really appreciate that as well. Good, Ben. It's all right. We can take it. Just, we'd love the feedback. So, other than that, thank you, buddy, for listening. Thank you for staying all the way through to the end, as always. Greatly appreciate that. Like I said, we'll be back later this week previewing the NFC Championship. Enjoy the beginning of your week. It's going to be the best week of your life until the next 2 weeks after that when the Lions are going to the Super Bowl. It's just a lot of fun. You got a little extra pep in your step. There's going to be 20. After the Lions win, there's always an extra pep in your step for the week. When the Lions are headed to your NFC Championship, there's like 20 to 30 extra peps in your step. I don't even know what pep in the step means now that I've been saying it over and over.
You're going to know today when you got 30 more of them walking around.
All right. So thank you, everybody, for listening. And last but not least, as always, Go.
Down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.